You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, so the first hour we're going to be joined by Coach Wade Johnson to talk about what's wrong with powerlifting today. Is there anything wrong with it? Everybody always has opinion about this sort of stuff, so we're going to talk about it a little bit, more of a political side of the discussion. Later in the show, I'm going to be joined by Melanie Warner, who wrote an amazing book called Pandora's Lunchbox. You know, I have to read a lot of stuff for this show, and quite often I have to read it. That's the term I would use. Not because I necessarily want to read it, but I have to prepare for an interview. I got to tell you that this is a book that after starting to read it, I didn't want to put it down. Pandora's Lunchbox talks about how processed food has taken over the American meal. It's scary. It's scary. So you want to stay tuned for that. Coach Johnson, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Other than it's really cold, I'm well.
You know, we have a listener up in Minnesota named Major. Middle initial K, Chumley, the third, I believe, and I apologize if I got that part wrong. And, you know, he was talking about how cold it is up there, and I guess we really don't have to complain too much. Minnesotans are used to this kind of weather. I jokingly said that when people from Minnesota want to get warm, they step into the refrigerator. So
really? Yeah, well, that's why they live in Minnesota, too. They're used to it, but that, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm done with the winter, I got to be honest with you. So anyway, this discussion is really a continuation of something that started online that you shared with me. And it basically it's a thread about pontificating about what's wrong with powerlifting today. Now, before we get into the whole discussion, have you, in the back of your mind, before this thread popped up and you started to get involved with it, have you had these feelings like, you know, man, powerlifting could be so much better if...
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone always has an idea of how something can be done better. I think what separates, you know, people that really get things done from the crowd of people that talk about what would, you know, make powerlifting or any endeavor better is they actually get their hands dirty, or they, you know, they jump in and they do something to make a difference, or what I've always said is be the change that you want to see.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what happens is people will, whether it be like this conversation was on Facebook or post on a forum or there's an email chain, you know, these are the things that are so wrong about this sport, you know, and they make very general statements. And so I've always thought that there are some things that we could do clearly as a sport, not an organization, not a federation, but as a sport to make things better. Now, you know, some of those things I'm limited in my capacity to do, but I have gotten involved in all aspects of the sport where I felt like I could make a difference. So yeah, I always feel like, you know, it's a cliche. There's always a way to improve things, but do I clearly think that there are some issues? Yes, I do.
Okay, so what do you think the top line issues are within the powerlifting community or the sport today?
I think for the sport, what we're missing is how to, and I'm not sure that I have the answer, but is how to make this more of a mainstream sport. And you'll hear pros and cons about that, and people go, you know, that they want it to remain an underground sport, and I honestly don't believe that.
I think that's cognitive dissonance. I think that they know that it's not going to be a mainstream sport, so they're like, nah, I don't want it to be anyway.
Well, but that may not be so, because my whole exposure to powerlifting is correlated to it being on TV in the 80s. You know, I saw Larry Pacifico on TV, you know, 30 years ago, you know, only to meet him, you know, 25 years later, you know. And so those guys had a huge, I mean, otherwise I'm not exposed to powerlifting and I don't have the interest in it I do today. And so I think there's ways that it could be made mainstream. Now, are we going to be willing to pay the price, you know, as a sport that is not mainstream or underground? You know, are there going to be people that are willing to, you know, cut the trail to make that happen? Well, that remains to be seen. And I think that's where the real debate is. Can we make this a pro sport? Can we make it something that is more mainstream? And that's where the challenge starts.
And so what do you think is the number one thing that would have to be trimmed or changed in order to give it mainstream appeal? I have some opinions of this, by the way. I'm glad we're talking about this. Go ahead.
Well, again, you got to understand that the typical powerlifting meet is nothing like what we would have at a professional event. You know, it's like comparing the, you know, the NFL. Everybody says, well, you know, the NFL is so different. But let's go back in time, you know, the old AFL days and stuff like that. Pro football was not that mainstream, and these guys had jobs in the off season or during the season.
Right.
It has not, that wasn't 300 years ago. You know, it's been, you know, it was in the 1900, you know, it was last century, you know.
Right.
And so it's even contracts from when you and I were younger men were nothing compared to what they are today.
Oh, I know.
You know, so
I know a guy who played pro ball, baseball, started out on the Brooklyn Dodgers, ended up on the Mets, had an amazingly successful career, back in the, 60s. Obviously, the early 60s, the 70s, and through the 80s, and had to keep a job in the off season at a department store downtown in New York. And this was not uncommon for those guys in the baseball. And you know, today $1 million contracts are everywhere. Back then, these guys were getting paid average salaries that you know your dad was getting paid or my dad was getting paid doing their
right. Well, and we're only 30 to 50 years
right.
removed from that.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, that what we're seeing as the big four sports in the United States, you know, that they've been making, you know, this crazy amount of money. And so now do I feel like powerlifting can go to the point where we're making millions of dollars? Not in my lifetime and not in Wes's lifetime. Certainly I don't think that. But can it be made mainstream, and can it be made into a real pro sport? I think the possibility is there. Now, the biggest issue that we have as a sport is we're boring. If someone, because I'll go watch a powerlifting meet because I'm, you know, generally, you know, I'm involved in the event or I've got a lifter in the event and I'm a fan of the sport. But I'm not the guy that's going to buy a ticket and put his fanny in the seat. And ultimately, that's how it happens. I'll give you another example. Look at the X Games. I remember when they put that on ESPN the first time and they were riding snow shovels downhill.
Right.
Now somehow that made it to ESPN. Now look at him. Now you got a kid like Sean White who has turned snowboarding into a multi-million dollar, I mean he's his own franchise. You know, he's sponsored by a gum company, a credit card company, and he's at the Olympics.
So how
seriously?
But those types of things have an inherent high speed. First of all, the things that I think of, those types of events, they have action in motion and they have danger. They have very, now there's danger in powerlifting. There's no doubt about it, right? Danger of sure injury. I think part of the problem with powerlifting, as you point out, that it's boring is
well,
that,
and there's where we've got to make the change and what the, how you do that. It's just what, you know, remember the days of the 15 round, boxing matches? There was a lot of that fight that, you know, you would watch, you know, at the edge of your seat because you knew at any given moment, you know, somebody might land a big punch. But by and large, a 15 round fight was not exciting.
Right.
But what created the urgency? And that's what we're missing in the promotion of the sport. Not the local events, not even the national events. Those events are there to make a champion.
Right.
But now a pro event, what we lack in our sport now more than anything is just direct competition. And the conversation that I forwarded you, that was on Facebook that Donnie Thompson started that's one of the things that he talks about, and I completely agree with, where a lot of what he had to say I did not, but that's a different conversation. We don't have any direct competition. You know, so how is competition going to make it exciting? Well, when you create, you know, no one has to get excited anymore about Alabama playing Auburn. We all know that the Iron Bowl is going to be, you know, just a big knockdown dragout. We know that's going to happen. You know, so we do not have any real rivalries mm-hmm. in powerlifting. Where these, you know, where guys go head to head, some of them don't even like each other. You see it occasionally, and then we try to clean it up or make it politically correct on these forums, you know. And the bottom line is, you create some urgency where it's like, you know, those two may break out in a fight in the warm up room. Now, I'm not saying promote violence. I'm not saying those things.
But the tension, let's face it, competitiveness breeds tension. And there's none of that. There's none of that going on in powerlifting at all. And it's not like as though you'd have to artificially foster it, because if there was direct competition, it would manifest itself that way.
And I don't disagree with that. Again, we've got to find a way to create some sort of urgency for people to want to come to the event. Here's the deal. You can have a very well-sponsored event and give away trophies and you have a bunch of lifters, but what if we had 15 or 20 lifters and it was highly competitive and there were interviews? You know, look at the rise and just the dominance of mixed martial arts, especially the UFC. You know, you want to call it goofy that they shower the guys with water when they, you know, they're looking away from the camera and then they pan into the fighter and he looks at the camera, you know, looking hard and badass and everything. But look at their pay-per-view sales. Look at their ratings on the free stuff that, you know, doesn't have a great card, but people have become fans.
Right.
You know, and it's more than two guys just beating the crap out of each other.
Right.
You know, so that's what we have to do as a sport is create urgency.
Well, here, I want to do this. I want to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want you to give me an example of how a competitive atmosphere could be created within powerlifting. Let's just kind of like a fantasy football. Let's do a fantasy powerlifting meet for a second. And let's kind of describe this. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. Coach Johnson, go ahead and give your websites real quick.
You can go to weightliftingdiscussion.com. Look for the link at the top of the page. We have a new forum. You'll have to create a profile and a password, but it's really helped clean up spam and everything. We've got several people now that are posting. And you can reach me on Facebook. I have a personal Facebook page, and there is a Facebook page now for the Ogre Compound, and then you can always reach me on email via supersquat800@yahoo.com.
There you go. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. It's indisputable that powerlifters are amazing athletes, really. But why don't they get the fanfare that they deserve? And why doesn't the mainstream pick up on this? I mean, there's 10 billion channels out there. People are looking for programming constantly. Let's face it, the nation is enthralled with Duck Dynasty and Honey Boo Boo. I mean, clearly, powerlifting could be a mainstream event when the human condition is challenged to the degree that these guys are challenging. So what, give me, let's play fantasy powerlifting, okay? Give me an idea, orchestrate it. Wade Johnson, you have the opportunity to reconstruct powerlifting. How do you put the competitiveness in it? Give me an idea of an event. Put some guys together against each other. Explain it.
Well, I think what we would have to do is leave powerlifting as it is currently organized alone. There is nothing wrong with that. Let me be clear. The health of the sport has never been bigger. There is never a time that this sport has ever been bigger and we've seen any more interest. But you have to understand that to have be under the big lights, to be a pro-level type sport or something mainstream, you have to do something to separate that event from what is the typical events. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So this is not going to be popular, and understand, you know, that I've been an official in different federations and stuff like that, so I'm not against federations. I'm not. But the sport itself is bigger than these governing organizations. And so what would have to happen is that there has to be an event that takes over that somehow brings the very best lifters to the same platform.
Right. I agree.
And it's not going to be in a traditional sense because we can't represent every weight class. I know people are going to scream, oh, that's not fair. All right, life is not fair. You know, there's guys that don't get drafted in the NFL draft. They somehow get signed or, you know, I've heard, Bum Phillips was famous, the old Houston Oilers and New Orleans coach. He was famous for finding guys that weren't even part of football. He had I can't remember the guy's name, I can't even remember the position, but the story was this guy was driving a concrete mixing truck and Bum Phillips saw his athletic ability somehow, and the next thing you know, he's playing for the Oilers. Now, I understand that that is the exception to the rule, but my point is we, you know, it's not fair. Sports are not fair. The guys that are the best are the ones that, you know, come away with the glory. So we have to create a system where we reduce weight classes. We just have to, because we cannot have 50 lifters at an event and expect people to sit in folding chairs or in some theater or whatever the case may be and have a 10-hour event and think that people are going to be excited about that. That's not going to happen. I'm not giving you $5 or $10 for that if I'm not a fan of the sport.
Right.
And how I grow it, it's like NASCAR. I mean, again, you're old enough, I'm old enough to remember, you know, when those guys didn't make the gazillion dollars that they do and the season was half as long.
Yeah.
But now they have done things, they've made it so mainstream that people watch that 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, weren't fans. It's in MMA as well. I mean, you see just as many women in the crowd now that, you know, of what a lot of people initially, you know, considered a barbaric sport. So we have to reduce the classes and weight classes and create more competition. Now, where's the cutoff on that? I can't say. It's again, I'll have a ton of, you know, of things to compare it to. It's just like March Madness.
Right.
You know, they've got all these play-in games. But eventually, a team that probably should be there is going to get left out. Win 3 more games then next season and get in, and you don't have to worry about it. Is that fair? You want me to tell you it's not fair? It's not fair. But what does that change? It changes absolutely nothing. So we have to cut down the amount of weight classes so there's only a certain amount.
Let's talk about that for a second. So, I mean, my first inclination is, no, you just go for the heavyweights because that's what everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see the guys that are moving the biggest amount of weight. But then you've got some lighter classes that pound per pound are as strong, if not stronger, than some of the heavyweights.
Well, and that's true. But I think that's why you know, you're going to have, you know, the lightest weight classes represented, you know, through the heaviest, but you've got to cut those down. You know, ultimately we can't have so many participants that, again, you know, it's an all day event. That's,
right.
You're never going to be able to, if you put it on TV, you're never going to edit that to a 30 or 60 minute show. It's not going to happen.
Right, right.
And, you know, the time constraints that we have in powerlifting are kind of iffy. The rules are there. They're basically the same, but they're iffy, you know, with time limits on the lift and things of that nature. And I think that's where we can clean things up.
Okay.
And again, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, okay, so now we've addressed that part, right? So we need a smaller pool so that it fits into the types of time constraints that are required to make something mainstream. What about the competitive nature of the sport? So how do you pit two powerlifters against each other? How do you create that frenetic competitive atmosphere that we see in all these other sports that people love?
Well, I think like the event Bench America, where I did some interviews for the promoter whose name escapes me right now, and you let these guys become characters. You let these guys be something more than you would read in a magazine or see in a YouTube video. And that's, you know, that's where the promotion of not only the sport, but the individual lifter comes into play. And, you know, because you'll see such a myriad, there's these guys that are just ultra, ultra intense. And then you've got a guy who's lifting equally as much that seems to be fairly laid back. But you get those two guys jawing at each other, you know, in the want to, you know, hey, I'm going to beat this guy's ass. I'm going to win.
Right.
And that's something that I think at what I would consider the pro level is missing in our sport.
I agree with you here with this one. This was one that I didn't even think about. But I mean, taking this, allowing the ability to pit two or more powerlifters against each other for a specific event, and then actually kind of dramatizing it by letting them do the kind of things that competitors do in this mainstream atmosphere, which is, you know, talking a little smack, definitely being aggressive and talking about how they're going to win. That would create the sit on the edge of your seat element that is missing from
gamesmanship. I mean, and it's not a big enough part of the sport. And it's always been something that when I was competing at world events, you know, and even the pro stuff that I did, if I could get in your head, I would. I mean, that's just a fact. You know, I'm all about being a good sport and keeping it, you know, fun and everything. But if I went to a world meet, I didn't go there to hit a PR. I went there to win. That's what I wanted to do.
Right.
I wanted to win. That's what I trained for.
Right.
You know, I went through the whole process of getting what I hoped was good enough to qualify, and then if I'm going to be there, why would I get? I'll have a good time and I'll hit a PR. I can do that at the state meet.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to win.
Yeah, and you're right. That is what's missing. That competitiveness. And you know what else is missing as a part of that? When the audience becomes invested in a persona. You know,
right.
like when we look at wrestling, and I know a lot of people are going to like, oh, forget about it. Wrestling is fake. Yes, there's no doubt about it. But we can learn something from wrestling as far as they can take something that's relatively fake and make it so huge. Imagine what you could do with something as real as powerlifting. But they create characters, as you pointed out, and then people connect with that character. They relate to that character. That character becomes a hero. And then people are emotionally invested in the event. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, and then what happens is that is where your urgency is created. It's like, you know, hey, I got to make sure I watch this on TV or online. And that turns into, hey, that event, you know, that's 100 miles from my house. I am going. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to go and I'm going to be there. I want to see it live. You know, maybe I can peek behind the curtain and see what's going on in the warm-up room. And these things somewhat happen with the old WPO events that went away all too quickly. If anybody remembers those days and attended, you had to be there super bright and early at the Arnold to even be in the auditorium, or you couldn't see anything. And so that had, you know, we had created some urgency, and he had streamlined some of the some of the weight classes and stuff like that. Unfortunately, what happened is the event just moved entirely too slow, and there wasn't enough promotion, in my opinion, of the individual lifters. People still, you know, the average power lifter knew who Gary
right.
Frank or Andy Bolton
right.
was, or Donnie Thompson.
Right.
But the guy that was there to see mixed martial arts or archery didn't give a crap. But if we create these guys, not just make characters of them, but if you start giving, you add personality to an event that lacks personality. All of a sudden, when you can connect to that guy, you know, Bob is a lifter and squats 1,000 pounds, and then in his everyday life, he's a veterinarian. Well, that changes the whole ballgame.
Right. Right.
And that is what we are severely missing in this sport.
Why are, so this one sounds to me like an easy solution, to make this sport more appealing to the average person and even more appealing to those who love powerlifting. Let's face it. I mean, if you know more about the guy, if you see this competitiveness, you're gonna get pulled into it too. Just because you're not someone who isn't aware of powerlifting, you're gonna like it better as well. Why aren't they doing? Surely there's got to be people out there that realize this, right?
Well, I think so, and I think the biggest obstacle, along with, you know, what everybody else runs into, is money. Everybody's waiting for the typical promoter, and typical is probably not a good word. You know, the guy that is promoting events, and running state, national, you know, and their world or their top federation event. I mean, those guys are invested in that. If you're waiting for someone to do that, that's asking a lot. A guy a real federation leader who is an event promoter, is all he's doing is hustling week in and week out to run the events. You know, he's trying to run 30 plus events a year.
Right.
There is no way that he's going to be able to take that on. So you've got to find promoters and people, not just promoters, but you have to find people that can figure out a way to get dollars infused into the system. And that's very hard to do because we've not found a way to market this sport. And I don't think it's by marketing the sport, squat, bench, and deadlift. I think it's marketing the guys that are the competitors.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how we've got to, you know, got to go about it. So,
And I want to talk about this on the other side because it's all about advertising, right? Advertising
right.
dollars. If you have eyes on a target and you sneak an advertisement in, that's what funds the process. So well, let's talk about that for a second when we come back. We're talking about the state of powerlifting today. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance, but getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits, so will you.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Later in the show, Melanie Warner will be on to talk about her book, fantastic book called Pandora's Lunchbox, The Processed Food, How Processed Food Took Over the American Meal. Really, really good book. Well written and well researched. Right now we're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. We're talking about the state of powerlifting today. Can it become a mainstream sport? You know, anything can become mainstream. In my humble opinion, If people are willing to sit in front of reality TV shows and watch people whose lives we would have made fun of years ago and, like, be there enthralled, like watching a train wreck, I can't believe they wouldn't watch powerlifting.
Well, and you have to know that reality TV
is not reality.
It's not reality. Right. It's scripted. And please don't be that naive. If it's entertaining, great. Be entertained. But, you know, because I'm telling you, I've seen like a few minutes of shows. If I were on Big Brother, I'd probably still go to jail because I'd listen to about 5 minutes of that and then somebody'd be holding their head from where I punched them. But in real life, it's just not going to happen that way. So anyway, but your point is hugely valid. You know, and we will sit in front of TV and watch guys play poker.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Talk about
I've
boring.
I'm
right?
like, man, you know, what kind of nads do you have to go, I'm going to bet, you know, $500,000. You know, I don't have the nerve for that. And I'm going to bet it holding a 4 and a 2. You know, I don't know how, but again, look at these guys. You know, I watch it once in a blue moon and I've seen enough of it that I know who some of the real high-end caliber players are. And again, they have created an urgency, you know, to want to see who's going to be at the final table of the main event, you know, with, you know, on the world championships. And again, it is marketing and creating characters that give people a connection, and that creates the urgency to want to see these events.
You know, what do you think? Okay, so we've covered two things so far, right? And both of them have to do with the appeal of the sport itself, making it more appealing to the potential mainstream viewer. What else do you think that people within powerlifting would say? And the reason I asked is because when I looked at that post, which was very emotionally charged, I saw Fred Hatfield say something about and get rid of all the gear, you know, like the supportive gear.
You know, and I love Fred. I really do. I mean, you know, but I completely disagree.
I mean, I'd be like saying, well, football would be more exciting if they would just ram their heads into each other, not wear helmets.
Well, I think here is where I think we missed the boat. And I think we have an opportunity to create some events. There's always, you know, there was a post on there, make them lift raw just with a belt, you know. All right, maybe we do that. Maybe instead of everything being tied to one event, we have a series of events. You know, I think that's where we've probably lost touch, you know, with how we make ourselves more marketable, because we want people to conform to our idea of the typical powerlifting event. Well, how's that worked out so far for us? You know, we were on TV there for a few years, and what everyone considers the heyday and the golden age of powerlifting, well, that's been 30-plus years ago now. And so we're, you know, I always go back to when something is not working, are you doing the same thing and expecting a different result? And that's what we're doing. So let's not tie it all into one event. Maybe it's a series of events where one meet, whoever the competitors are, you're lifting raw. You can wear a belt, you can wear knee wraps, and you can wear wrist wraps, and that is it. You know, now that's a distinct disadvantage to the guys that, you know, typically compete in gear, whether that be single ply or multi ply or whatever the case may be. And then the next event, you have a multi ply event. And then the event after that, it's only single ply. You know, there, we have to find a way to do something different and to, you know, look at strongman, look at all the different disciplines, you know.
That's what comes to mind. I mean, look at strongman. Look at strongman. I mean, they rerun strongman events from 5 years ago on ESPN constantly.
I will have people like clients go, hey, do you watch World's Strongest Man? Yeah. Well, it's on ESPN right now. I go, this year's? I didn't think this. No, it's reruns.
Yeah.
And so people are watching that. I get asked all the time, hey, I was watching those strongman competitions on ESPN last night and thought about you. So people are watching those events. And again, these aren't people that are strongman competitors. These are people that just know I'm some sort of weightlifter. And when they see me, will go, hey, I saw that event. So they're taking their time and watching these events. And that is what, again, I go back to, that is what we're missing. So we're going to have to find a way to promote
things.
Well,
okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you think look, strongman doesn't use any talk and smack. Clearly, they're direct.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Oh, yes, they do.
Do they?
Well, I mean, I don't think you see that. I think, you know, in the events, again, that's another thing. There's a misnomer that, well, power lifters are fat and out of shape. Now, there are some exceptions in strongman where the guy is jacked and he's ripped, but by and large, not all, they're just these big, ridiculous, you know, huge men. Look at Brian Shaw.
Yeah.
That guy, now I'm big. I'm a big guy, and that guy makes me look like a puppy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is huge.
I know.
And people are huge fans. And he's a great guy. I mean, and he, you know, he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is a young guy.
Yeah.
You know? And so, again, you know, you've got a guy that has personality and character. You know, I want to watch it just to see how well the guy does. I will tune in and watch some of his training videos.
Right.
Again, that's where we're missing the boat.
So, if there was a promoter out there who has been involved in sports promotions in general, and he or she said, you know, this may be an untapped opportunity here, what would be the biggest obstacle? Would be the biggest obstacle be getting the different governing bodies to allow their athletes to cross-compete? Would that be the thing?
No, because again, the sport is bigger than the federation, and you become a member of the federation, you're buying a membership card, and that doesn't tie you to the federation. It means I'm a member for a period of time, typically a year, and so when I can, you know, enter these events. Membership cards are a way of creating a revenue stream, and these promoters, you know, a lot of people complaining about it, but these promoters have to have revenue streams to make these events happen.
Yeah.
Everybody wants two or three monoliths in the warm-up room. Well, who's paying for that? Do you think your $50 or even $100 entry fee and there's 20 to 50 people there, everybody goes, man, look at all that money. But you got to understand, most of these events are in a ballroom or a meeting room of some hotel or a gym or something like that. Somebody pays the rent and all the associated fees with that. And I'm not going to go into the long list of things, but let me tell you, as a guy that has promoted, and you know this, several meets and even meets that were lowly attended, and you know that as well personally, these things have to be paid for.
Right.
And your meet entry doesn't always cover that, especially, you know, like the event that you were at in Louisville.
The one at the Kentucky Muscle event, that one?
Well, that one was, you know, I made money on that one.
Oh, the one right at Jeff's gym,
yeah,
where you guys brought the monolift in.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, that didn't cover my gas and trophies, but you have to, as a meet promoter of powerlifting, of what we do today, he's got to have that membership fee to generate enough capital to have, okay, let's say he's got a $5,000 to $10,000 trailer. Who's buying that?
Right.
You know, he's got to recoup that money somewhere. And you know, I hear this all the time. What about doing it for the love of powerlifting? Then I tell you what, write me a $50,000 check and I'll run three events for you for free.
Right.
Somebody's got to buy that equipment, and with monoliths being $2,500 to $3,500 a piece, and that's just a monolith. Then you got a squat bar, you know, that they've become so specialized now. You can with plates, a monolith, a competition bench, and you know, just the basic necessities. We're in five digits.
Yeah.
Well, your $100 entry fee and your membership card, it's tough. It is tough for those guys to make any money. And if they're running 30 events a year, why would you want them to do it for the love of the sport? That's ridiculous. And the fact that we as a sport, this is where we as a sport have become small-minded. I want everything in the warm-up room to match what's going to be on the platform. At every meet in this organization, I want the gear to be consistent. And this mindset is happened in the last 10 to 15 years, you know, and it's like you want even your local event that's not even a state meet, just some local event, to have the very best of the best equipment with these ridiculously, you know, huge trophies and all this atmosphere and everything, but then you want to, you know, that you want to balk at a membership card that you pay once a year. You don't mind paying a $50 fee to use somebody's credit card.
Right.
But you don't want to support the guy that's running events in your backyard. That is the mindset that I think really hurts the sport.
Yeah.
And so we have to be willing to pay for those things.
I want to take a break. Hold your thought there. Hold your thought there because I want you to finish your thought. But I also want to ask you, several people commented and took issue in this thread with the comment that someone made. I don't remember who, maybe it was Donnie Thompson that said, powerlifting is controlled, manipulated, and dictated from the bottom up. I don't understand that statement, so maybe you can clarify that. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. We're talking about the state of powerlifting today. You know, powerlifting is an example of amazing example of what the human condition can do. As much as strongman or any of those types of things, but it doesn't get the attention it deserves, in my humble opinion. And there's a reason for that. And really, someone out there needs to capitalize on that and change it. That's my opinion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. I cut you off before, Wade, to take a commercial break, and you were finishing a thought. Do you want to finish it, or you want to go on?
As you can tell, I'm as impassioned as the people that you're reading about. And it's kind of hard, you know. I should have taken some notes, you know.
Well, let me ask you this: what is meant by powerlifting is controlled, manipulated, and dictated from the bottom up? I interpret the bottom up meaning from the participants, the members up.
Well, that's kind of what I took from it, and so hence why I immediately got involved in the conversation. Now, let me say something right away: a lot of people will look at those posts and see me as being adversarial, or I don't like Donnie, or Mac Henders, who I completely disagreed with. Let me tell you something. Both of those guys are good friends of mine. And I certainly admire Donnie for not only his accomplishments, but I mean, he's trying to make a difference. So I want to be the guy that's going to ask the tough questions, you know. Hey, you know, if the, one of his first statements were, just to give you an example, is one of the things he said when someone asked is he felt like leadership was a problem. Mm-hmm. And that was his statement. Well, what does that mean? You know, I'm part of leadership in the sport, so what is it that we as leadership are doing wrong?
Right.
You know, and so, you know, let's if you're going to be bold, then let's be bold enough to answer those questions and see what we come up with. You know, we're going to keep shaking that tree until something drops that we can use. So, you know, I admire Donnie for making a stance, you know, but, and hopefully, here's my hope with all this, that we've done this show and that we're drawing some attention to it. And then I'm going to have some, you know, some discussion with Donnie, and perhaps we bring him on the show, or perhaps we, you know, post enough stuff that I send it to you or to someone that it creates some urgency. And I think this goes back to your previous question. How do we, you know, how does a promoter, he or she, get involved and take this mainstream? And I think we've got to think outside the box, which I ultimately think is what Donnie is trying to do. And how do we get dollars? Because we're thinking in still in terms of powerlifting equipment like Enzer, Advanced Designs, Titan.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. You need Ford Motor Car. You need
right.
You know.
And so how do we you know look you know and color outside the lines, so to speak, and think outside the box, you know, and to do that. And we've got to find a way to make ourselves more marketable. Now that is a blanket statement, but I think that starts with what I've been saying all along, is we bring some personality, some individuality. You can ultimately have a team concept, but that's another conversation.
Wow, that would be cool.
Exactly. But we have to create urgency, and we've got to do that by giving people, not me, not you, because I'm, you know, if I'm at the Arnold, I'm going to step inside and I'm going to watch some of the powerlifting, and then I might, you know, duck around the corner when there's a break in the action because I want to see some Olympic lifting or stuff like that. But what about the guy that likes fly fishing? How do I get him in here, you know, to see this event? And how we do that is we create the urgency by people learning the personalities of the sport. We have a point of connection and a point of relation, and that is what is severely missing in this sport.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to happen? Seriously. I mean, I know we all want it to happen, right? But do you think it'll happen?
I don't know. I think here's what I've seen, and you got to understand, I've been involved for quite a while now and from the ground up, and what you're seeing is you're seeing pro events. We run... I say we, the Southern Powerlifting Federation runs 4 to 6 pro type events a year, and they're extremely well attended. But I think what happens, again, you gotta understand, Jesse Rogers is the president and the owner of the SPF. I mean, he's probably running 30 to 35 events a year.
Wow, that's
a lot.
So
he's driving all over the country, you know. And he sells equipment, so he may be delivering. I mean, he's called me from all. I'm in Detroit. The next time I'm in Mississippi, and this is in a week, you know, where he's delivering equipment, and then that weekend he's running an event. And so it's asking too much of our federation leaders to pull off these events. And what's going to come down to is there's a promoter or two that are out there that runs events that has no ties to a federation. It's about what do we do to bring the best of the best together? How do we make it worthwhile? And how do we get people to purchase, you know, a ticket to come see this event? Can that happen? Do I think it will happen? I think at some point somebody is going to be able to put some their own dollars behind it. And I think we were close with Karen Kidder. There were obviously some inherent issues there, but someone like him that is as impassioned about the sport is going to put some money behind it. And they're going to be able to get enough people together that aren't powerlifting minded, but they're marketing minded, they're promotion minded, that, you know, we can create a situation where we can have a 4-hour event and see some incredibly ridiculous lifting and some competitiveness and be successful. You know, 2,000 people, 5,000 people will come and see that. All you gotta do is look at video of the European weightlifters and powerlifters. And somehow, those guys are gods over there. Yeah. The events are so well attended. We're here, you know, if we can get 50 to 100 people to show up, you know, we consider that a success. And I think we're thinking small, and I think we're thinking very narrow-minded, and I think we're trying to get the rest of the world to fit in our box. And that's where our mistake is. That's why it has not happened until this point.
I think it's good advice. I think it's a good discussion. There's obviously more to it than just what we can cover on this show, but I would love to see powerlifting events be back on mainstream television again like they were once before.
As well, and there are some very incredible people that not only lift incredible weights, but that do incredible things away from the platform that so many people I think would connect with. And I think we see that in other sports. This is what they do. They run gyms or they train kids or whatever the case may be. And I think the possibilities are endless. It's going to take the guys and girls are going to have to, that pave the way to make this mainstream, are going to have to understand that they're the ones that are the pioneers, and that we've got to have that crew of people that plow through first.
All good discussions. Wade, go ahead and give your websites again. If you want to train with Coach Wade Johnson, if you want to get stronger, he can help you get there. He's helped a lot of people in the audience. How can people reach you?
You can always reach me via email, supersquat800@yahoo.com. I have a personal Facebook page and also the Ogre Compound Facebook page. Go to weightliftingdiscussion.com and you can find our training forum on there and post your training, ask questions, anything you like. And that's how you can reach me.
Excellent. Thanks for being on the show today, Wade.
Always good to be with you, Carl.
I talk to you soon. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Melanie Warner on. We're going to talk about a fantastic book. I'm telling you, I didn't have to read this book. I wanted to read this book. It's called Pandora's Lunchbox, How Processed Food Took Over the American Meal. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the superhuman nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Earlier in the show, I said, you know, I have to read a lot of books for this show. And a lot of them I have to read. And then there's the occasional one that once I start reading it, I'm like, wow, I want to read this book. And this is one of them, Pandora's Lunchbox by Melanie Warner. How you doing, Melanie?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Good, good. Yeah, great book, first of all. What I will say to the audience right up front is you all want to go out and get this book and you want to read it because it will arm you with so much good information about why we do the things we do in this audience within the Superhuman Nation. This is a fantastic book. You know, it's one of those books where you want to be the smartest kid on your block about these subjects. This book covers it all. This is really a great book. I know that you've written about business in the past. What made you get into this this side of the discussion about food?
Yeah, I started writing about the food industry about 8 years ago, and at the time there really wasn't much coverage of kind of what I'll call our broken food system in America. And so I became fascinated in learning more about food companies, how they operated, what was in our food. And as soon as I started learning about food science and food scientists and what they did, I was hooked, and I started going to trade shows, and I started talking to food scientists and learning a little bit about the incredible technology that's gone in, that goes into our food, that's really happened in the last 100 years, and it's been particularly intense in the last 50 years. And that was part of the story that I wanted to tell in the book.
Well, and first of all, I love your writing style. This could become a very boring, sterile subject, you know, scientific discussion. But I love your writing style. Fantastic. And you make the reader want to continue reading, not just because of the information you're delivering, but you actually allow me to visualize and feel like I knew who some of these people were that you were talking about. You pointed out certain characteristics of them or certain quirks or idiosyncrasies about them. Like, oh, I know somebody like that. I bet this person is like that. And it was really great writing style. I have to also give you that.
Thanks.
So did these individuals know that you were going to be writing this book when they were opening up to you and telling you some of the things that they were telling you?
They did. I mean, they did. I didn't, you never want to, really lie as a journalist or mislead people. So I just told them that I was writing a book about food science and about processed food, which is what I did, and that's what I set out to do. The thing about the world of the food industry and food science is that it's very like a lot of industries. People are very immersed in it, and they don't always have a perspective on how the rest of the world views what they're doing.
Yeah.
What they're doing, unlike a lot of industries, what they're doing has a direct impact in everyone's lives because we're eating their products pretty much every day.
Right.
So I think it was sort of nobody maybe necessarily the way that I looked at what they were doing and some of their work is a little bit different from the way that people inside that world view it.
Interesting. So let's talk about a couple things in this book that really are quite timely. Okay. So the country is applauding the FDA and some other organizations and even some food manufacturers for finally giving up the ghost on hydrogenated oils. I mean, we've talked about this I've been on the air for 9 years, and we've talked about hydrogenated oils ever since I can remember because of Dr. Paul Dudley White, one of the founders of the American Heart Association, who wrote a position paper in the 30s saying, these oils are dangerous. We need to go back to natural animal fats and tallow and lard and abandon these hydrogenated oils. And no one paid attention because Crisco was all the rage back then. So everybody's like, oh, finally we're doing it. We're getting trans fats out. We're getting hydrogenated oils out. But when I read about the hydroxynonanols, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah. Tell me what you're referring to.
The soybean oil that's no longer hydrogenated poses just as big of a risk than the hydrogenated.
The breakdown components, right?
Yeah. It causes these things that actually putrefy, if you will, in the body, the puffers, right?
Yeah. So they cause when you heat vegetable oils, polyunsaturated vegetable oils like soybean oil, which is used widely in the food industry. Corn oil, sunflower oil, things like that. These toxic compounds can form. The oil can become rancid, and can oxidize, and it forms these things that you really don't want to be consuming in any quantity. And the food industry was shielded from this for some time because when you hydrogenate oil, a lot of these compounds are not formed because it makes the oil more stable. So now that we're not hydrogenating or partially hydrogenating oil, we have this other problem.
So everybody has this sense of relief right now, like, oh, we're getting hydrogenated oils out, so we're safe. But the reality is that soybean oil, which really makes up the majority of edible oils in this country, when you cook with it, wasn't the acronym HNEs, I want to say, that you talked about?
Those were one of them. There's a couple different types of compounds. Toxic aldehydes is another way to refer to them.
Yes,
HNEs, yeah. And this is something that hasn't gotten really hardly any mainstream attention.
I know.
So it's something that, you know, when you think about cooking at home, soybean oil is which is sold in the supermarket just as generic vegetable oil. It's probably not the best thing to cook with. It's fine if you're making a salad dressing and you're not heating it, but if you're cooking with it and subjecting it to high heat, probably not the best. There are better choices. I'm not a huge fan of canola oil, but canola oil would probably be better. Even better is coconut oil.
Bingo.
Or actually butter.
Butter.
What you were just talking about a minute ago, the animal fats and the saturated fats. I think there's more and more evidence coming out now that these are actually quite a lot better for us than the vegetable oils that have been pushed for several decades.
Oh, and we've been that's been part of the message of this show. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of raw, unpasteurized dairy, and I have in my freezer pound tubs of raw, unpasteurized butter that I use to cook in, and I eat regularly. And so, I mean, and you know, it's amazing. The reality is that what has happened, and we're going to talk more about this when we come out of the break, what has happened to our food chain has had very little to do what is good for the human condition and all to do what is good for business profitability. Isn't that a true statement?
Yeah, I think that the food companies are starting to think a little bit more about public health now, but only because they've been pressured into it.
Uh-huh.
There's been consumer petitions that have been started online. There's ongoing controversy around labeling of genetically modified organisms. So they're responding to this because they're in the business of responding to their customers. But I don't think historically their prime motivation has been public health. I mean, these are publicly traded corporations, most of the big food manufacturers and food companies, and their interest is to basically sell more food and to sell it more profitably. Public health just isn't something. It's not to say that they're evil. It's just the way large companies work, particularly publicly traded large companies.
Well, and people vote with their dollars. So the part of the problem is, unfortunately, that the message about what, you know, if you go to, you get 100 people who are disease-ridden and or obese, the majority of them will tell you that they eat healthy. I don't understand why I'm like this. I eat healthy. But then when you really start to dismantle their diet, you find out that they're eating a very, very high glycemic load, carbohydrate-centric diet. They're afraid of fats. They're doing all these things, lots of chemicals and pre-made foods. And you go, but this isn't healthy. But they say, well it's got to be healthy because the My Plate and or the food pyramid says that this is the way I should eat. So
right.
I don't blame the food companies for selling us what we want and what we've demanded. I do blame some of the information out there that has been corrupted and or maybe just inappropriate without any corruption behind it.
Yeah.
And people are starting to get wise. So we do see companies like even Monsanto announced recently that they're looking into organic farming. You know why? Because people are like, look, we don't want GMOs. We want organics. So Monsanto, right. And I've said it, Monsanto will sell you whatever you want to buy. You just need to let them know what you want to buy.
Right. And the first step is really knowing what it is you're buying and what it is you're eating. And I think the low-fat craze of the 80s started in the 80s, or maybe even started
70s, really.
70s. In the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, meat became the devil in the 70s.
Meat and eggs, yeah.
Right, right.
Butter. And that really was probably one of the worst pieces of worst nutritional developments in modern times, because what it did is it pushed people away from sources of fat that were relatively healthy. At the very least, they're sort of neutral from a heart disease point of view, but they were promoted as artery clogging, heart disease causing, and it pushed people to consume lots of refined grains, things that we now know are probably and also sugars, things that we now know are probably the main culprits in weight gain.
Absolutely, and many diseases related to chronic inflammation, as we now understand as well. Here's
exactly.
What we're gonna do.
And totally deficient as compared to something like steak and red meat, even to some extent butter, which have nutrients in them. Certainly meat does. Variety of vitamins. You're consuming something with these refined grains and sugar. Absolutely no nutrition at all.
All right, let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. You can get this book where finer books are sold, Amazon.com, Pandora's Lunchbox. You must get this book. I have to tell you, when you read this book, you will not only have a lot of the answers to questions that you've had for a long time about how food is processed and so on, but it will open your eyes to what may be coming. It's a fantastic book. Go to Melanie R. Warner. Make sure you put the R in there, .com, to learn more about the book, or check Amazon.com or wherever finer books are sold. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new. What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know what this is.
Welcome back. We're gonna give you 5 seconds to put your drink down and we're talking to Melanie Warner. We're talking to her about her book Pandora's Lunchbox, how processed food took over the American meal. You know, I have a book at home called Fortunes in Formulas, and it was published in 1908, I believe. And it's a book at the size of a single volume of an encyclopedia with nothing but chemical interactions and chemistry projects, I call them, that people could do in their own homes to do everything from reverse poisoning to making their own hair dye and beer in your bathtub and all that sort of stuff. And it dawned on me that this book apparently was very popular back then, that in the early 1900s, we embraced chemistry, if you will, chemicals, our ability to manipulate and make things that did not occur in nature. Is that around the same time where we said, hey, we can also screw with our food too?
Yeah, that's around when it started to happen. It was also right around the dawn of chemical technology, and chemists starting to figure out how how to isolate chemicals and how to work with them and manipulate them. And if you look back at there's some ads from around that time going up right until the 1930s that food companies ran that actually feature, I mean, it's unimaginable now, but they feature scientists in lab coats tinkering with things in labs. There was one ad for one of the first cereals that was done by the Quaker company, and it talked about their cereal, puffed wheat and puffed rice, being shot from guns. And this was a good thing. People loved it. It was a huge success for them because it was a different time. We were embracing this technological modernity that was sweeping the nation, and it was seen as a good thing. And in some ways, it was. It made manufacturing much more efficient. It led to economic development. At the time, people didn't know the downside of nutritionally to some of this food and to some of this technology.
Yeah, because if it didn't kill you, if you didn't get, you know, a GI reaction right after the meal, and it didn't kill you, you just assumed that it was working for you. It was okay.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, you know, up until 1930, we didn't even have a Food and Drug Administration that was looking at additives. And it wasn't until the 50s that there was actually food additive regulation. So there really, it was really kind of there was just a lot of unknowns that people didn't know about what was going into their food and what was the possible effect of it.
Yeah, there are things that were used back then that I found in this book, like mercury.
Yeah.
The people were consuming mercury for different reasons. We've learned a lot. There's no doubt about
that.
Yeah,
and something like formaldehyde and borax were being used as food preservatives. And a guy that I wrote about in my book was one of the first to raise the alarm about that and try and get those and other ingredients that actually are now still being used in food 100 years later to get them out of the food supply. And he was mostly moderately successful in his efforts.
And his name was?
Harvey Wiley.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a plug here because he actually is in the on the first page of the second chapter. You mentioned that he was really the first food crusader. You compared him to Ralph Nader and others, but saying that he was really the first one.
He was, yeah. He was the first one. Right at the time processed food got its start, he saw things that he understood way ahead of his time before he really could have, before it was widely known, he understood things about nutrition. And most of his thoughts about nutrition, he criticized white bread at a time that it was thought to be perfectly healthy and maybe even healthier than whole grain. He turned out to be right. He had a crusade against Coca-Cola, the first soft drink. He was incredibly prescient. He was a fascinating character.
And in fact, it was thought back then that these foods that were being engineered, if you will, with the chemistry and science were actually pure foods that were better than foods that we had prior to that, right?
I mean, sometimes, yeah. I don't know. I think people, if they knew what was in food, like he increased public awareness about a preservative, sodium benzoate, still in the food supply, being used widely in ketchup. And once people knew what was in their ketchup, they didn't want to eat it. It wasn't something. I mean, this is sort of just a natural impulse of people. If it's something that they don't understand. And that's used as a chemical in chemistry labs and has not been consumed by humans throughout human history, most people, if you ask them, they don't want to eat it.
There were you had several other examples of that just escaped me towards the middle end of the book. I'm trying to think. There was some that I was just shocked by when you said what they were used for in industrial practices, and then they're in our foods too. But this is still pretty widespread today, right? I mean,
it is. Yeah, I mean, there's one that's been in the news lately. Azotic carbonamide is used in quite a lot of breads, and I talked about how it's used in Subway's bread. And there's a food blogger that started a great campaign to try and get Subway to remove it from their bread. Subway, of course, being the chain that promotes itself as the healthier fast food option, and they talk about eating fresh, and so. So azotic carbonamide it's actually an industrial chemical. Most of its uses are not in food. It's really only used in bread and bread-type products. And it's used in the creation of yoga mats.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's something that's kind of dangerous in food because it breaks down into a known carcinogen. It's not something that should be in food.
Which Subway's new campaign I happen to be aware of is they actually are showing women buying the sandwich, and taking it into yoga and laying the bread down and using it as a yoga mat. So they're going to combat this by saying, look, that's right. And it's more functional than regular bread too.
So, right.
But anyway, You know, I mean, this is shocking to me. And, you know, I am not a big fan of the Food and Drug Administration. I recognize when they do things right, but I equally recognize when they do things wrong. And they do a lot more wrong than they do right. And I just wonder, you know, they have no scientific independence or autonomy there. They just take what these industries give them and they say, okay, yeah, that looks okay. And it's not until years later that they go, oh, we were wrong about that after all the damage has been done. I just don't understand what capacity the FDA serves any longer. I got to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think, there's definitely an argument to be made for that. They haven't done a lot with food additives. There's a number of food additives, like the one I just mentioned and
right.
others, that shouldn't be in the food supply. They're not evaluating it. They feel like they don't have the resources to.
I love that.
Want to take on the food industry and take on these battles.
They claim they don't have the resources. Then out of the other side of their mouth, they're asking for greater oversight of other industries, given the resources they have now. And it's just baffling. I don't. But anyway, what was the very first food that was what we could consider processed food today that was prepared for later consumption?
I don't know the very first. That's a good question. I mean, Coca-Cola started before the 20th century in the 1880-something, I'm just forgetting exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't sold in stores. It was sold as a soda drink at drugstores.
And soda fountains, right.
Yeah. Soda fountains, yeah. And then breakfast cereal started, the Kellogg's Brothers, right around the same time before the 20th century, right before the turn of the 20th
century. And actually, these foods...
Corn flakes.
They were necessary. Let's be honest here. They were necessary because there was an exodus... from the countrysides to the cities.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't have the ability to farm any longer. They were working for, businesses that were manufacturing type businesses. They were living in flats, closely, flanked by other people. There was no place to do any of the things that you would normally do. So they had to find food. And so these food manufacturers were really very good resources that allowed this country to move forward, but they had no appreciation for what healthy nutrition really was. That was their only thing that I can take issue with them.
Yeah, well, we didn't really understand nutrition at the time, and I would argue there's still quite a lot we don't understand about it. But we know vastly more than we did then. Most vitamins weren't even discovered, so we didn't even know that there were these things known as vitamins and how to measure them in food. So, I mean, I tell the story about cornflakes in 1905 one of the Kellogg brothers actually took out all the nutritious aspects of corn to make Kellogg's a more convenient product that would last that would sit on the shelves and last longer, and in the process remove virtually all of the nutrition from the corn. Probably had no idea he was doing that.
And this is true of a lot of things in food manufacturing, for those of you who aren't aware of this. So hydrogenated oil is just man-made saturated fat. Okay, they remove the omega-3s, which are healthy for us because they have very short shelf lives.
Right. Rearranges the molecules in a way that
And so the reality is, it's still saturated fat. It's just a man-made saturated fat. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the soybean in general, because one of the things that you cover very well in this book is the soybean legacy here in the United States. We're talking with Melanie Warner, and the book is called Pandora's Lunchbox, How Processed Food Took Over the American Meal. You can get it where finer books are sold. You can also go to Melanie's website. It's MelanieRWarner.com. Don't go to MelanieWarner.com. It's a totally different website. It's MelanieRWarner.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Great book, Pandora's Lunchbox. Get it. Is the book available right now, Melanie?
Is it? Sorry, what?
Is the book available right now?
It is. Yeah, the hardcover book is still available, and the paperback is coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah, it's really a great book. I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to reading much more of it because it really fits the mission of this show. It exposes a lot. And before I talk about soy, I have to ask you a question. So when you were preparing for this book, you're writing it, you're gathering all this information, did you start to become angst-ridden about shopping and buying food, things that you ate before that now like, oh, my God, I can't eat that either?
A little bit. I mean, I was already kind of practicing what I preach, which is to try and eat a diet mostly of fresh whole foods that I cook at home or I seek out at the right places when I'm out. But I did start to think a lot differently about fried foods, like even eating fries out at restaurants. So it did make me a little bit more cautious. Not that I've completely stopped eating fries, but I really think twice about it. Also, potato chips.
Well, and to come back to something we talked about before about the soybean oil when it's cooked and the HNEs and the aldehydes.
Yeah. And that's why I started being concerned about it.
Yeah, because the French fries that were cooked in these oils were saturated with these bad things, right?
Yeah, in just in this one study that was done in the Minneapolis area by a scientist. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty scary. Okay, so let's talk about soy for a second. So soy is one of the most heavily subsidized crops by the American government, the growth of soy. And it is a crop that apparently, you know, companies like Arthur Daniel Midland and others, these big agricultural companies, are really heavily invested in. And they're even trying to modify soy so that the bad things that people say about it will be removed, like a high omega-3 containing soy and so forth. What are your thoughts on soy? I mean, are we going down a slippery slope by continuing to try to find more and more reasons to get people to eat this stuff? Or is it something that, you know, maybe we should kind of back off a little bit on how bad soy could be for you?
Yeah, well, I really go after soybean oil in the book because it's not, you know, inherently in and of itself, soybean oil is not horrible as long as it's not heated to high temperatures. A little bit, fine. Not particularly healthy. There's actually zero nutrition in it, but it doesn't. It's not detrimental. The problem comes when you're consuming it in large quantities, which is what we're consuming. And I did some calculations that shows it could be as much as 10% of our calories are coming from soybean oil. In the form of these fats that are added to food or they're used for frying at restaurants. And the problem with that is it's a very specific type of fat. It's a polyunsaturated fat, and it's very high in omega-6. It does have a little bit of omega-3s, but it has way more, 7-to-1, way more omega-6s. And that's just flooding our system with something that we've never had this level of this type of oil in our diets before. When we've consumed fat throughout history, it's really been in the context of within animals. If we were getting polyunsaturated oils, it was from eating fish or through eating seeds and nuts. We've never had these vast quantities of oil from vegetables, from things like soybeans, which are actually not vegetables but legumes.
Right.
And that just does all sorts of things biochemically in our bodies. And the danger is when you're way over consuming it, which is what it is in the American diet.
And the reason is because and aptly so, as an industry, the soy industry is looking for more and more ways to get more and more people to use soy. Now, obviously, is food. I we talked about this last year. I like tuna fish, but then recently I noticed that they added soy to the broth that they use to package tuna fish in. And then when I read the book, I understood why, because they can actually enhance the protein quantity at the same time while it being less expensive than some other alternatives that they used to use. And it apparently keeps things kind of more moist fresher feeling, if you will, right?
Yeah, it holds in the moisture. Mm-hmm. And helps it stay moist. And then soy protein is used in a lot of protein-containing foods, bars and cereals and things like that. I talk about soybeans because they can be a very healthy food. I mean, soybeans, like most legumes, have a ton of nutrition in them, fiber and vitamins and minerals. But when you process them and when you take them through this industrial food chain and you turn it into soybean oil or soy protein, there's very little nutrition left at the end of the day. Like, soy protein really is essentially just protein. There's nothing else. There's no fiber. There's no vitamins, no trace amounts of minerals. And same with soybean oil. So it's really an example of the way in which the food processing and the extent of food processing can really determine the healthfulness of a food.
Well, and on top of that, like in the case of soy, they have to use some very, very powerful chemicals in order to isolate and liberate these various components that they want to get out of it. Right. And I think just recently there was some paper published about some of these showing up in baby formulas that employ soy protein, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that. If you're talking about the industry uses a petroleum chemical called hexane to remove the
right.
oil from
right.
soybeans.
Yeah.
And that's just the industry standard. It's not used in what are called expeller-pressed vegetable oils, but all the standard non-expeller-pressed oils would use hexane, and their trace amounts of them end up in the finished product. The intention is for them to, they try and vacuum it off, but there's still trace amounts. And this is a neurotoxic chemical. It's not something that anyone would wish to be in their food.
Absolutely. So What do you hope? I mean, what do you hope people take? I mean, I kind of see you as a food crusader too here, because you've assembled all of this, right? There's lots of people that are doing things, like Dr. Wiley that you pointed out in chapter two, that will have a profound effect on people, but it can only have a profound effect on people if they get the information. I see you as one of these, crusaders as well, because you put everything in a single book. And you endow people the opportunity to read through it and go, wow, I think I better stop eating that, or maybe I'm going to eat less of that, or, you know, what do you hope people take away from this book when they read it?
I think, I hope people have a more conscious approach to eating. You know, I don't think it's, you don't need to become a perfectionist, and you don't need to know everything about how your food is produced, but you need to know a little bit. You need to have a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of information. And not just trust the big food companies that they're doing the right thing, or trust the Food and Drug Administration. Well, if it's on the market, it must be okay. It's not. You have to do some of the thinking for yourself and search out sources of information. And I want people to come away with it thinking a bit more about what the foundation of their diet should be. Processed food has a role in our lives. It's you know, it's fun to eat. It's there are times when it's absolutely essential, when we're busy and we're out or we're traveling. But maybe to think about the foundation of our diet, the biggest piece, being fresh foods, whole foods, real foods, whatever you want to call them.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. We promote an ancestral diet here, and basically, you know, before food processing, what were people eating, where your DNA evolved? And people need to look more closely at that. So I'm with you on that. I commend you for writing this book. I think it's fantastic. And I really mean this. I think that everyone in the Superhuman Nation needs to get this book. And I say buy a second copy and give it to a friend or relative who is not part of this critical thinking movement that we have within this audience, because this book is a winner. It really is. I love this book. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
And so go to MelanieRWarner.com. You can also find out Melanie has some speaking engagements coming up in months ahead. Maybe you can see her, get her to sign your copy. Also, the book will be available in soft paperback. I guess at the end or sometime in March, I think Melanie said. But you can get the hard copy right now at Amazon.com, where finer books are sold. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got a couple announcements to make, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3422.
8473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
You wanna rumble in my jungle?
Welcome back. Okay. A few things. First of all, if you haven't already downloaded the Superhuman Radio Network iPhone and or Android app, please do. Obviously, for iPhone, it's available at the Apple iTunes Store. And for Android, it's available at Google Play. There were a couple glitches in the app, and those are being fixed right now. And we will publish a new version next week. One of the other features in the new version is going to be push notifications. So please make sure you activate that when you install the app. I got a couple of emails from people in the UK, as well as here in the United States, saying, gee, it would be really great if you could do a push notification to let us know what is going to be on that day, because I'm not able to check Facebook and I'm not on Twitter, and I'd love to get a push notification to remind me to listen to the show live now that they have the ability to stream it, and that's going to be in this new version. So you'll be able to get a notification of what the show topic is that day and be able to listen to it from your app. Also, I don't want the petition to lose momentum. If you go to my blog at superhumanradio.com, we have started a petition. We are petitioning the FDA to require that all promotional and advertising material and all communication about vaccines carry the same potential risks and side effects messages that pharmaceutical drugs do now. And this is a real easy thing. And everybody, no matter where you stand in the vaccine discussion, whether you are pro-vaccine and think they were the greatest thing in the world, or you are not for vaccines and think that they're dangerous, I think we can all agree that it is the least that the American population can expect to have complete and full disclosure, just like the FDA so properly makes the pharmaceutical companies do. So it's a real simple one. I don't care where you stand on the issue. This is something that we deserve to know, whether there's risks involved or not. Maybe this vaccine has no risks. Maybe that one does. So they would list that when advertising or promoting the vaccine. And I know some people said, well, the risks in the insert. Well, I'll give you a dollar for every person that's ever seen the insert. Because your doctor comes out and sticks it in your arm, doesn't usually have the original box in it. If you ask for the insert, they have to go looking for it. They probably don't have it because they threw it away. I mean, it's just that's nonsense. I could say the same thing about pharmaceutical drugs. Well, the risks are on the insert. Well, you never see the insert because the pharmacist puts it in a bottle and hands it to you. So it's the least we can expect. go to superhumanradio.com, look at my blog about the petition that we started, and please sign it and pass it on to everybody that you know. I want to get 100,000 signatures over whatever period of time it takes, because I will fly to FDA headquarters and ask for an audience to deliver it by hand, and we'll take cameras with us. Also, there's a contest to win $500 worth of free product for Muscle Gauge Nutrition. If you go to the website, you'll see a banner ad at the top. You click it, and it just requires two things to be entered. You have to be on our mail list, and you have to have liked the Supreme Radio fan page. You could do both from that banner ad. You click that banner ad, you could do both of them right there. If you're already on our mail list, then like the fan page. If you've already liked the fan page, then join the mail list. On the 20th at midnight, we will select a name at random, and we'll announce it on the 21st on Casual Friday. And lastly, I continue to get emails about this. There is a code for those of you who want to try Blackstone Labs Razor's Edge, which is a pre-workout supplement with no stims, and everybody who's tried it says it's unbelievable. It does have a form of adrafinil in it, which converts to modafinil. And for those who know what modafinil is, it's the drug given to people who have narcolepsy. It keeps you awake. It helps you focus. Lots of airline pilots use modafinil. It's sold under the name Provigil because it gives them clarity and the ability to focus for long periods of time, even when tired. If you go to Blackstone Labs and use the coupon code SHR30, if that doesn't work, just use SHR. Now I forget. But you can get 30% off a bottle of Razor's Edge to try it yourself. It's ridiculous. The most they've ever offered was 10% off anywhere else. So this really makes it very inexpensive. Go to Blackstone Labs, use SHR30, and you'll be able to buy a bottle of Razor's Edge for 30% off. If that doesn't work, just use SHR. I'm sorry for being such a putz about it. I guess I should have checked before. I tried to depend on my memory. I'm obviously not using Razor's Edge today. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening today. Tomorrow's Friday. We'll be in the studio for a special Casual Friday with the lovely and talented. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs?